Good morning.
Good morning.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 6. We want to read in context the Lord's Prayer, and our focus this morning will be the petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." Let's read together from Matthew 6. We'll read from verses 5 through 15. "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Let's bow for prayer. Our gracious God, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you do indeed bless us and provide for us. And we pray now as we consider this petition that you have taught us to pray, that you would speak to us, that you would enlighten our hearts and our minds, that we would live rightly before you, that you would be honored and glorified by our lives, by our prayers, by our words and actions, and that the kingdom of God would be built up. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One of the first great lessons that a Christian must learn about prayer is what? Put God first, right? Put God's interests first. That's what we're taught in the Lord's Prayer. Afterward, there comes the area of our own interests. Work, family, home, friends, needs. These things are indeed legitimate. In fact, the Bible teaches us that we are to pray again and again about these things. As we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, we've seen that Jesus has taught us that we should begin to pray for God's name, for God's kingdom, for God's will. Having prayed for those things, having learned to pray for those things, helping us to establish a correct set of priorities, then we move to pray concerning needs, our needs. The Lord's Prayer teaches that in terms of three things. Physical life, the things that we need to sustain us. The forgiveness of sins, and our spiritual walk. The first of these three deals with, if you will, our needs. Physical needs, but as we look at this, we will see more than just physical needs. Needs of life. And in one sense, it is a praying for food and clothing, and yes, a home, a job, many other physical necessities. At the same time, while we are told to pray for that, it should be evident that we're not encouraged to pray for extravagance. Philippians 4:19 says that God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It does not say that God shall supply all our wants. Paul didn't write, "God shall supply all your greeds accordingly by Jesus Christ." That's not what he wrote. God does indeed give many of us more than we need, far more than we need. But we are told nowhere to ask in that way. In fact, it's the opposite. We are warned not to get caught up in the pursuit of wealth. The warning is, if we do so, it is to the detriment of our souls. Instead, we are instructed to ask for what is necessary. The basis for asking for life's necessities is found in God's promise to give us what we ask for. The example that we have in the immediate context, as you look at chapters 6 and 7, is earthly fathers. An earthly father provides for the needs of their children. In the same way, but perfectly, and to infinitely greater capability, our Heavenly Father cares for those who become His children through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the promise. Jesus, sent by the Father, taught that God desires to give when His children ask. In the greater context of where we find the Lord's Prayer, as I've indicated, Jesus explained in ways that help us begin to grasp the intent of God's heart. In Matthew 6, we're told that God values us more than other created things. He takes care of them, so we are to understand from that, indeed, He will care for us, and even more so. As we read through the Sermon on the Mount, which is where we find the Lord's Prayer here in Matthew, and we come to chapter 7, there also is good provision there, good insight in understanding this petition of give us our daily bread. In verses 7 to 11 we read, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him that knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks for bread, he will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him?" These verses in Matthew 7 reveal some things to us about prayer that we need to recognize. What's the first thing? We must be God's children in order to come to God. He's talking about answering His children when they come to Him. Secondly, as God's children, we are invited. We are urged to come to God. Ask. Seek. Knock. There's persistence. Continually come before your Father. Thirdly, God delights to answer those who do come in faith. When we come to God in prayer through the Lord Jesus Christ and in His Holy Spirit, we do not come as enemies of God. We come as children of God, as members of God's family. Now, as earthly fathers, there are many things that, for instance, we would not do for a stranger. And there are many more things that we wouldn't do for an enemy. But, as earthly fathers, we do go to great lengths for our children in order to care for them, in order to nurture them, in order to love them. The point is, in a greater way, we, as God's children, come to our Heavenly Father, who is not distant, who is not harsh, who is not stingy, or begrudging in His gifts, or in His giving of them. We come to our Heavenly Father who is loving, willing, and merciful, and who desires to be known and loved by His children. And so it is that our Heavenly Father urges us to come. Moreover, God urges us to come regularly, repeatedly. Think about it in your home. You want to build a relationship with your child. It's not by making an appointment to meet once a month, is it? You're going to talk regularly. You're going to talk repeatedly. You're going to talk daily. That's the model that Christ is talking about before us. We are to follow this. What does it tell us? Give us this day our daily bread. What can we summarize from that? The idea of regular prayer is emphasized twice in this short phrase. This day and daily. The repetition indicates to us the importance of establishing good habits of prayer in our lives, because that's how we come to our Heavenly Father. We need to understand that Jesus is teaching us that praying also is not meant to be just something that I've got a pattern, I repeat the Lord's Prayer every day, and I'm good to go. Nor is it, on the other hand, to be some complex thing, filled with as many large theological terms as I know or I can learn before I die. It's not what God's after. Rather, the pattern is a simple prayer for the things that we need every day, and that God invites us to come and ask. When we ponder the clear simplicity of the Lord's Prayer, it reveals to us a number of truths. For instance, one of the things that it reveals to us is that God cares for our bodies. Throughout church history, unfortunately, there have been some who have tried to minimize the physical, in the belief that only the soul or the spirit is of any importance. And sometimes this type of teaching is taken on the form of asceticism or of celibacy. At other times, there's even been teaching of outright abuse of the body in order to get it to submit. None of this type of thinking is biblical. Rather, it is contradicted by the whole tenor of the Bible and by specific teaching in Scripture. For instance, Jesus showed us with His earthly ministry. What did He do? Well, He spent much time healing men's diseases, satisfying men's physical hunger. Jesus was concerned for the person that was blind, or lame, or leprous. Jesus was also concerned when He thought the crowds who followed Him out into lonely places were without food, and He provided their need. But even more so, what should we see when we look at Jesus? Well, we can definitely see what God thinks of our human bodies. How so? Well, by remembering that Jesus Christ, the Son, took on the form of our bodies Himself. Our salvation is not just a soul salvation, it is a whole salvation, the salvation of body and soul. Another thing that is revealed as we consider this petition is that praying in this manner teaches us that if we live as God intended for us to live, we are to live one day at a time. Don't misunderstand me. But in this respect, we are not to be anxious or to fret needlessly about the unknown future. Rather, we are to live in a moment-by-moment dependence upon God. And granted, depending on where you live and the society, the meaning of this concept will probably vary from culture to culture. But basically, the thought is that we shouldn't be consumed with worrying for tomorrow. Rather, we are to ask God what we need for today. Just to reiterate, to emphasize, that doesn't mean that we become neglectful in our planning. We are not to neglect our families by spending everything that we have foolishly and wastefully today without future thought of needs. To do that would be to misinterpret Christ's teaching here. But at the same time, we're not to get so wrapped up in things as if our future depended ultimately on our planning, on our scheming, on our hoarding. Otherwise, we're just not going to make it. Instead, we are to wrap ourselves up in our confidence of our God, of our Heavenly Father. Simple question. Is God faithful? Yes. Of course He is. And because we know this, we can trust Him both for our todays and our tomorrows. Also would like us to consider this request for our daily bread with more than just a strictly physical perspective. Scripture constantly reminds us that we need spiritual nourishment also. We need to feed spiritually on our God. I want us to consider briefly another place in Scripture where the request to give us bread is spoken. It's in the middle of Christ's sermon on spiritual bread recorded in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I will pick it up at verse 32, I believe. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. And all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I shall lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." There's an end note there that I didn't read, but I'll read it now. Then the Jews complained about him because he said, "What? I am the bread which came down from heaven." The Jews, when asking for bread, were probably thinking of physical bread. In the same way that the woman at the well in Samaria had been thinking about physical water. But Jesus was pointing them away from these physical elements and to himself as the one who could satisfy the far greater hunger of their soul. So what does it mean to feed spiritually on the Lord Jesus Christ? Stated simply, we can say that it means that Jesus is the source of all spiritual life and that we will grow spiritually only as we draw close to Him. As we learn about Him, as we learn
from him. Moreover, unless we draw close to Christ, we will inevitably be starved spiritually and live in dissatisfaction and hunger. We can't have it both ways. Here's the tragedy. Far too often, many Christians will allow things to intrude between themselves and Jesus. So they live their lives being hungry instead of being fed. Scripture reveals to us that this happened repeatedly, for instance, throughout the Old Testament history. The Bible indicates that the people of Israel desired things instead of the Lord their God. Consequently, as the psalmist reminds us in Psalm 105, God gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Let's not kid ourselves. We do the same thing today. Far too many Christians find themselves in that same state, rich with things, but poor in soul. Have we ever known that kind of spiritual leanness? That kind of unsatisfied hunger? Maybe there are times when we've filled ourselves with all the means of satisfying our physical hungers. Whatever it is that we desire, we go after till we get. Yet we haven't really looked to God to satisfy our spiritual hunger, our feeding. We regularly pray, "Give me my daily bread." Meaning, give me the things that I need or want. But we forget to pray, "Lord, give me that spiritual bread that comes down from heaven that Jesus was talking about." And don't misunderstand me here again. I'm not saying that hungers are wrong. Hungers in our lives can be and are useful. They can be right within their bounds. The God who created us has placed within us hungers, has placed within us desires. We have hunger to achieve. We have a hunger for love and for happiness. All these things are good when they are used as God has intended them to be used. But it is tragic that sometimes we allow ourselves to work to satisfy those hungers, or to attempt to satisfy hungers at the expense of spending time, necessary time and effort, seeking the greater true satisfaction that can only be found in Christ Jesus, the bread who came down from heaven. Well, I think one of the things that, as we talk about this, is looking at what's the purpose? What's the goal of praying for our daily bread? And for receiving God's answer to our prayer? Well, I believe that it is we learn to know God. We learn to trust God more and more. Jesus encourages us by pointing out how much more valuable we are than, for instance, in chapter 6 of Matthew here, sparrows and the lilies. We're instructed again and again about not being worried, about not being anxious, but instead placing our hope in the Lord. Here's the thing. God is glorified by our faith in Him, by our confidence in Him. We are to come humbly, but boldly, bringing our needs before Him, bearing in mind how we have already been taught to pray. What I'm saying is that this petition give us our daily bread is a continuation. We have not left the preceding requests behind. We haven't abandoned how we are to honor God. The goal of asking God to meet our needs is the glory of God. The first petition in the Lord's Prayer tells us to pray for the hallowing of God's name. In other words, that God's name would be glorified. But the Bible teaches us that God's provision of our needs does indeed glorify His name. We're also to pray for the doing of God's will and the coming of His kingdom. These two are also fulfilled in the praying for our daily bread. I believe we see this in a very powerful and striking way at the Last Supper, as revealed in Luke 22. I want to read a few verses from there, beginning at verse 14. When the hour had come, He sat down and 12 apostles with Him. And He said to them, "With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then He took the cup, and He gave thanks, and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, He indicated that it was the beginning of something that was going to come to fruition fully later. This bread and this wine of the Lord's Supper that we have at the front and partake in weekly is a sign of God's kingdom. A high mark of the kingdom of God will be when Jesus sits down again and eats and drinks with His people. Now I want us to understand, a high mark of the kingdom in its present form is when we come together weekly, as we do, to eat and drink in the presence of Jesus. The kingdom that He has brought us into is the kingdom of the one who gives bread to us and shares bread with us. So when we are praying for our daily bread, we are also praying for the coming of the kingdom of God. Indeed, when we receive our daily bread, we are receiving gifts of the kingdom of God. And this is a glorious truth. I think it wouldn't hurt us to spend some time meditating, pondering on that. The God that we worship, the God that we serve, whose glory and kingdom we are to seek, is the God who desires to feed us. The point of God's glory is not that He gets everything and we get nothing. The point of God's glory is that it is His glory to give, to share, to serve. God is glorified in His kindness and mercy toward us. That should lead us to great confidence in our God. Because God's goal for His glory and for His kingdom is not at odds with our needs as we are being taught to pray. Rather, God alone is able to fulfill our needs profoundly, perfectly, beyond what we can imagine or dream. And God delights in meeting our needs. And that brings us to the last thing that I want to focus our attention on this morning. This delight that our God has in meeting our needs. What does it mean to us? Well, it ought to lead us to be praying for others. Question. Should we not delight in the same things that delight our Lord and Savior? Makes sense, doesn't it? We have just said that God delights to meet the needs of His people. Should we not be praying to the same end? Consider the precise wording of the petition before us today. In fact, of the three last petitions. Notice that each of these last three requests, the request for the necessities of life, the request for forgiveness of sins, the request for deliverance from evil, these petitions are not given to us in singular language. It's not about me, myself, and I. Rather, these petitions are given to us in the plural. We, us, our. Our Lord is teaching us to pray collectively for ourselves, yes, but for ourselves, along with others. We are not to pray selfishly. And it sounds like an enigma, and indeed it would be. Because how could you pray honestly, selfishly? That's in complete contradiction to what Christ is teaching us here. So the question is do we neglect to pray for our collective, if you will, daily bread? Do we delight in God glorifying Himself by providing for others? Do we delight in what God has done in someone else's life? Another question. If God has blessed us with abundance, does He call us just to keep it to ourselves? Is the kingdom ours or is the kingdom God's? Does God call us to glorify Him by being the instrument that God uses to meet someone's prayer for daily bread? Give us our daily bread has an incredible importance to the way that we live our lives. Give us our daily bread has everything to do with hallowing God's name, with doing God's will, with building God's kingdom. So, let's that be our prayer. May God give us our daily bread so that His name will be glorified through our lives and to the ends of the earth. Amen.